Can I just jump in here for a minute? Because one of the things that I've learned, this is a great thing about Magician Business Podcast and the Facebook group, is people chime in and you get to understand what people do know and don't know and what they do want to know.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Since May 2014, Julian Mather and Ken Kelly have been posting weekly podcasts on magicianbusiness.com. They have filled a void, providing invaluable information and first-hand stories from successful professional magicians who share their knowledge on how to make magic more profitable. In particular, they have had guests who talk about such subjects as building websites, taking professional promo videos and photos, working trade shows, writing contracts, financial advice, putting together a stage show, working kids shows, making money from balloon sculpting, well, and the list goes on. They supplement their efforts with a discussion that continues on their Facebook page. Within a short time, they gained over 1,000 followers on Facebook who add suggestions and give advice. It is truly a great forum for discussing the business side of magic. One of the interesting things about Ken and Julian is that they come from opposite sides of the globe, with Ken in England and Julian in Australia. You would think that the time difference would be a challenge to their working partnership, but actually it plays the opposite. With one always working, it gives them 24/7 access to putting out quality podcasts. In this podcast of The Magic Word, Ken and Julian focus on a new project they are developing called The Magic Tap. Basically, it's a way of using Google AdWords to drive business to your website landing page and ultimately getting more business and more money. The online video guide they put together takes the student step by step, instructing them from the very rudiments to the more complex in an easygoing, friendly style. This new program will kick off in early January 2015. Listeners of The Magic Word will get a special pricing on this product by clicking on the banner on themagicwordpodcast.com. But more about this later. For now, let's just listen to what Ken and Julian have to say here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com, and I am very pleased today as a podcaster to be talking with some other podcasting friends of mine and yours too that you've probably heard from around the world, Julian Mather and Ken Kelly. Hey, Julian, let's hear your voice first so that way they know who's Julian.
Okay, it's Julian here in Australia, and it is so nice to sit here and not have to worry about the technical requirements and just to be able to speak into the microphone and stare out the window and not worry about anything. Glad to be here.
And Ken Kelly?
It's really, really good to be here, Scott. An absolute honor and a privilege to be on the Magic Word podcast. And like Julian, it feels so different. I almost feel a little vulnerable here, not kind of doing the intro, but it's really great to be.
This is kind of funny. Podcaster on podcasters. So just to let everybody kind of know a sense of what we're doing here, that we are in not only just three separate time zones, but different countries around the world. So, you know, here it's 3 o'clock Central Standard Time in the afternoon, 3 p.m. Here in Houston, Texas. And what time are you on right now, Julian?
It's 7 a.m. in the morning, and this is my second interview this morning. The first one I did was at 5 a.m.
Oh my.
I had a chat with Buster Balloon in California.
So you're kind of in the future. You can tell us what's going to happen tomorrow since it's Thursday already there. See,
it's a beautiful day full of hope.
A beautiful day full of hope. Ooh, I love that. I love that. Ken, so you are what time are you on right now?
It's evening time here. It's just gone 9 o'clock. So, yeah, we're slightly ahead of yourself.
Mm-hmm. About 6 hours ahead of us then as well. So I feel kind of backward behind all of you guys over here then right now. I'm glad that we had an opportunity to chat because you guys have had so many interesting kinds of guests on your show, and you started, just to kind of back up, the magiciansbusiness.com podcast about, what, 2 months ago or so, or three? How long is this, when did it first start?
That was in May of this year.
I think. Okay.
Was it the 1st of May that we launched, Julian?
We launched on the 1st of May, and the podcast was on, that week we put something out.
So it's our 6-month anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I guess I should say happy birth. I can't finish day because it hadn't been the whole 12-month birthday. I can't give you the whole birthday, just happy birth, just half of that since it's 6 months, not a full year. So, and also you've been putting different content out there every week pretty much since that time.
We've been putting a podcast episode out every week, right up until this week. It's been on schedule basically every Tuesday. this week we've just had so much on and a few problems. We're just a couple of days behind. But look, yeah, we've kept the schedule up, but we've also had, we've been putting content out on other platforms as well. We've been putting articles on the website, and then we have another site, Magic Tricks for Kids, where there's new content that goes out on that. We've been really prolific in the last 6 months, but also the last couple of years.
But, well, you really have been prolific. Rather than going back for just right now for the vast few years, but at least since May, the kinds of information that you've been putting out there and providing into the magic community has been an invaluable source, and I assume that you've been growing by leaps and bounds, I mean, with new listeners from around the world, just exponentially.
It's been good. I look at the stats here and there and just look at, I know that our Facebook group, we just celebrated over 1,000 members of the Facebook group. That's the Magician Business Facebook group, which was, it took me by surprise. I saw it when it was at 600 and I thought, wow, that's 600. And then a few weeks later, Julian said, have you seen we've hit 1,000 members of the Facebook group? And that's great because, I mean, it's a tight niche when you're looking at magicians that might be interested in looking after the business of what we do, our art. And then with regards to the podcast, we've been blessed with over 26,000 downloads now from all over the world. We're just absolutely delighted and very grateful and thankful to our listeners that lend the ears to what we say.
Well, I can certainly see why, because it is just some quality content. I mean, when you talk about Facebook, for an example, that with the Magic Word Podcast on Facebook, that we have most 600 likes on the page that have joined in the discussion from time to time. And I probably had the Facebook page about out for about 6 months, certainly less than a year. So it's been growing organically also. But my point is just that, you know, what I have to offer whenever I'm chatting with people is just that. I feel like that I'm just talking with friends, and people get to eavesdrop on the conversation, basically, and get to learn a little bit about some of the performers and a little bit more about them. Whereas I think that they would go to magicianbusiness.com and to listen to yours because they want to grow and can get some quality information and go back and listen to that again, because there are usually is so much information that's packed into that. It's like trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff, you know, whether it's AdWords or, you know, photos or, you know, so many different aspects of the business. And so people keep coming back to the well, I think, to try to catch something they might have missed the first time, you know, with that. Plus, I think that people are looking to try to take their magic to the next level. I believe we all know enough tricks. It's just a matter of trying to turn your passion into a profit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we love doing the podcast because essentially we're learning ourselves. I mean, we just, contact people who we want to know something from. And, you know, we share that with everybody else. But it's interesting. It's, you know, you're talking about the numbers of magicians out there. Oh, you know, we've reached 1,000 in the Facebook group, and that's starting to plateau now a bit. Well, it will taper off. Mm-hmm. And when I look at other groups out there, you get groups that have been there for a number of years. They've got 1,500, 1,600. You know, like it's starting to give us a bit of an idea of actually how many working magicians are out there. And this is just on Facebook, mind you, but you start to get a bit of a an idea of the size of the audience, and it's not unlimited. I mean, you know,
it is finite. You're true. That's true.
There is a very finite number out there.
You know, someone had asked on Facebook a while back how many magicians that you think there are in the world, and I'd heard an estimate some time ago, and I don't remember where I heard this, but it's like 30,000 estimated magicians, and of that, 10% are full-time professionals. And of that, if you start to categorize, you know, the A celebrity, if you will, you know, the really good full-time working pros whose names you recognize, separated from the next one that it doesn't go from B, C, or D. I mean, it's pretty far down the scale as far as some of those who are lesser known and don't make nearly as much, let's say, as some of those who are at the higher echelon. But getting kind of off to a little tangent there. But my point being is I'd heard that 30,000. Well, I went on to then to take a look at the Magic Cafe as to how many people have joined. And it seems like they've got about 59,000 something. So let's say about 60 grand worth of people who have joined the cafe. Now, I understand a lot of them have come and gone. They're no longer members. They may have died. Most of them are lurkers and really don't participate. But it shows that there are a lot of people who have an interest in magic and may call themselves, quote, magician. And probably at least half of those have business cards. Maybe it is a larger number now with the advent of the internet and everybody using YouTube and learning magic the easy way.
You know, that was me who put that question on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
That was me. And the responses I got back ranged from 1,000 to about 50,000. So I'm working on the figure of about 25,000 at the moment, just going plumb in the middle.
Okay. And that's just kind of based upon everybody who had responded.
That's just the responses that I got back. I mean, what it showed to me is that nobody really knows. Nobody really knows.
No, well, that's very, very true. But I always say whenever that I'm talking with somebody and I'm performing, you know, all of us always get the same kind of comment. It's like, well, how'd you get started in this? Well, you know, but, I've never met a magician before. Well, first of all, they'll say, you're the best magician I've ever seen. Well, the obvious question is, how many have you met? Well, you're the only one. Thanks. I think so. That's a left-handed compliment. So I'm glad you enjoyed the one you met. But it's true that most people haven't met a magician. I mean, I think we're in a unique situation. We have a unique profession that people are interested in knowing more about. How did you get involved, you know, and what was it in your childhood or adulthood, you know, that kind of had you going in this direction, you know? So, you know, that would be something. I mean, you guys have both been doing children's shows, I guess, independently, obviously, and didn't know each other. How did you guys come together?
Do you want to go with this, Ken?
Of course, yeah. I was busy researching for another product. It was a website called Magic Tricks for Kids, and the idea behind that was to bring learning to youngsters that wanted to learn magic tricks, but more than just showing them here's an effect and here's the secret, just going and keying back into what I learned from my childhood about the philosophy and the ethics that we hold of magicians. And I think maybe a lot of that is lost on so many of the YouTube channels that are out there. So it was about trying to create a platform that would bring that across and give good a depth to the learning. In my research, in putting that together, I was looking around at who was out there putting teaching videos that were touching children and making a difference out there. And I bumped into, on YouTube, videos from Julian's Magician School. And I was looking at the views on these, and there were videos with hundreds of thousands of views. And I thought, wow, who is this man? And I was watching the videos, and I was seeing that same philosophy being reflected. It wasn't, here's a magic trick, here's the secret. It was really, here's magic, here's the underpinning philosophy, here's a lesson you can learn. This is called misdirection, this is called angles. It was really, really good stuff. So I took a punt and I wrote an email saying, hey, I'm looking at the same kind of thing. Is there some way we can work together? And then I'll let you take over there, Julian, because I guess then you received that mail.
Yeah, and then the email came in and I promptly just put it to the side. I didn't do anything. I was just focused on building a course I was doing called Build Your Magic Show at the time, and I was absorbed in that. I came back maybe a month later and, you know, just out of respect, went through the emails and I thought, oh, you know, this guy's onto something. I'll just say hello. Anyway, we started chatting, and within the first couple of emails, we noticed there was some connection, some synergy there. We had a Skype. Within the first week, we had maybe Skyped 3 or 4 hours. And I like to say it's like, you know, like in the old cartoons where you get some character has a pendant around their neck, but it's a half a pendant. It's got like a jagged edge.
Right.
And they have to find that other person in the world that has the other matching part. And when they find that, they come together and kazam, kapow, great powers are unleashed. And that's exactly how I feel with Ken and I. We really have stumbled across our perfect match, partner with, because we have a very common philosophy, life philosophy. We've got a very common work ethic, and we've got, you know, our goals are very much aligned, and it's been an absolute joy, in the last year, because this was all October 2014. So it's only been a little over a year that we've actually even known each other existed on
November,
the planet.
November. We're actually in November. Yeah, not October. Boy, you really are behind. Okay, maybe you are further behind.
Oh, no. Sorry. No, I mean 2013. Yeah, October 2013.
October 2013. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, it's just been over a year that we've been working together.
Certainly that you're living proof of what the definition of synergy is. It's something that's greater than the sum of its parts. I mean, the two of you were successful individually, but together are just making something that's incredible.
Thank you, Scott. And I guess that story continues, and there's a real kind of a coming together, as it were, of those two parts of that medal that Julian was speaking about, where because of the stuff we were putting out, we were invited to lecture at the BizBuilders at Kadabra to speak about some business lessons, and we were invited along there, and we got to meet for the very first time. So, and that was really surreal. It was really surreal.
Ken has a third dimension.
It's not because, just somebody flat on the screen or a voice behind.
No, which is strange, because this is the thing. Because I speak to Ken maybe usually 4 hours a week on Skype. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know Ken's family. I know his wife. I know his daughter. I can, because it's high definition, I can see the photos on the, you know, like the mantelpiece behind. I sort of know Ken's immediate house. And then you meet someone for the first time, and they have this extra dimension, and it was quite odd. It was very odd for that first moment, wasn't it? But it was only a moment. And then we had the most wonderful, buoyant week. It was a really uplifting week. We just brainstormed the whole time for that week at Kadabra. It was brilliant.
You know, there's a lot to be said certainly about Skype and being able to interact and interface with people, not just hearing their voice, but also being able to see that. And a lot of us provide teaching tools via Skype. I know that, you know, Joni Spina had used that. Several other people have used this with great success. I have students also that I give lessons to via Skype. And it's very convenient for people to live literally anywhere in the world, as you two guys do, one in Australia, one in England, so far separated, and here I am in the middle, being able to talk, and people can learn that way, because whenever I can, you know, hold my hands up to the camera a little bit closer and show a particular move or a break on some cards or how you would palm a coin or coins or whatever, that they can understand that. And that's the big advantage, I think, of our fraternity, of being able, in our profession, of being able to share those kinds of secrets and get to know somebody, regardless of where they live, by using, you know, this technology. And magicians have always been pretty well known for, using whatever advanced technology first and being on the cutting edge of that and trying to push that forward a little bit. You know, just as Jean-Robert Houdon had been with the light heavy chest, you know, using electromagnetics before it was commonly known.
And here's a tip for anybody who wants to start up what Ken and I are doing. Make sure that you partner up with someone who's literally on the opposite side of the globe to where you are, because it's brilliant, because we essentially tag team. When I work a whole day and I'm finishing my day is when Ken's getting up. We have a Skype. We talk about what we've done, and Ken takes over from me. And so it goes on and on and on. And it's a great way to be productive.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought you would have given that kind of suggestion to have somebody, you know, on the other side. But I guess that's kind of like why in the U.S. whenever that you get tech support, we have somebody in India, because usually it's late at night whenever that someone's home from work and they're on their computer, something doesn't work, and you call tech support and you got somebody awake on the other side of the globe, you know, who can help you.
But this is that's great that you mentioned that, because we are having a tech problem at the moment. And, you know, Ken is going to finish his day, and then I will just follow that through. So, you know, it solves problems far faster.
Well, you know, speaking of India, that I have heard of personal assistants that can do work for you while you're asleep, you know, and they would be in some foreign country in a different time zone, certainly, so that by the next morning, whatever you had requested, you know, they spent the 8 hours of their workday getting accomplished for you. I think it was one particular website. What was that? Your Man in India, I think, YMII.com, something like that. Anyhow, that I know there are different types of services like that, and that's something that I don't know if you guys have explored with others about having a PA or a personal assistant, that, you know, not any one person is great at everything, that you need to have this farmed out to other people who know what they're doing. And by having someone who is a personal assistant, you can go out and try and find people easily enough on the internet and have them give you quotes as to how much that they want to charge for whatever it is that you want to have done. For an example, if you need to have somebody do some research for you or to send out emails, solicit jobs or whatever, and then, you know, you would reap the benefit of that, of just saying, okay, well, I'm going to have a budget of up to X $100 or thousands or whatever, or that I want something done by the end of the week or something. So you have these other PAs who are out doing this for you, and then you kind of reap the benefits without you having to do all that minutia of work.
There's a great book written by a man called Tim Ferriss. It's called The 4-Hour Work Week.
Yep.
It really goes down into that about using I guess that the skills and the talents in countries that are not your own. It's weird that you should bring that up, Scott. Only this morning I took delivery of a job that we had outsourced to our VA in the mm-hmm. Philippines, and she's done a fantastic job on it. And it's actually one of the magic digital products that we're working on, just kind of getting other people where they have good infographic skills just to add to the videos that are already there. And, you know, we're speaking about this technology, and we're speaking about it. It was interesting because we started this on how many magicians are there in the world, and is it 25,000? Is it 30,000? Is it 50,000? But the truth is, we have, because of technology, access to all of those magicians. Now, the brotherhood has become closer than it has ever been before. There are ears listening to the Magic Word podcast right now all over the world. Mm-hmm. With a man speaking in the UK, another man speaking in Australia, and your good self, Scott, speaking in the US. It is just amazing how it's all bringing it together. And the learning as well, you're 100% right, you know. And what we're looking at doing in magician business is taking that is working, and we can instantly share that all over the world. We all have access to all of that information instantly. That would have taken a lifetime to learn just 25 years ago, now you can get that information in a day because it is just so readily available with the technology we have. I think it's a great age to be in at the moment.
That's true. You know, and it's funny when you talk about the 4-hour work week, I was almost literally quoting from that because that I highly recommend that book as well. I have it at my bedside, and I was getting the personal assistant or the virtual assistant, VA, from that. It's funny when you mention that. It's like, yep, we're on the same wavelength, you know.
Sure. Exactly thing. And I'll share another resource for if anybody is looking for a VA. There is a great website called Odesk. And Odesk is really user-friendly, and you pop on there, you pop your job on, whatever it is you're looking for, and people will bid on your job, and they bid, and then you can kind of see their CVs, you select somebody for the job, and away you go.
Well, you know, you were talking then, Ken, also about we are in a wonderful age right now where you have access to so many things, and that's absolutely correct. And when I look for an example on television, you have hundreds of channels, and there's never anything on you like to watch, but there are hundreds of a lot of variety of whatever that you want to see. And I think if you wanted to find, you know, the African Violet Channel, there probably is something like that, you know, something for somebody. And, of course, that whatever your interest, your hobby, your passion is, whether it's going to be golf or whatever, there are all these different kinds of tangential and cottage industries that grow up in and around that. Same thing within magic, where that you have so many different varieties of whether it's mentalism or escapes or, you know, stage and close-up, or even within close-up of card guys, you know, or people who collect playing cards and they're collectors and whatever else. And there are all kinds of forums and blogs and everything, you know, like that. There are very few at this point, podcasts that, I'm aware of, you know, that there are a few out there like yours, mine, of course, Dodd Vickers seemed to be the pod father that began back in the 90s, with doing this in the Magic Newswire, and still has great archives and a wonderful source of that. iTrix has, that. Of course, Chris Shepard's got his, successful performer cast that he's been doing, you know, then of late. But each of the podcasts offer different kinds of material. So whatever it is that someone's wanting to learn, see, hear, you know, or listen to, they can subscribe to, you know, something. I mean, we all have our followers, and I know there are people who just are, you know, podcast aficionados and just like listening to everything, you know, that has to do with magic. And others are a little bit more selective and may not listen to every episode. For an example, that although I am not a children's show entertainer, I may not listen to something whenever I see that you are going to be having someone or I hear that you've got somebody on who is a kid's show entertainer. If I don't listen to that, I feel that I'm going to be the lesser person for, because I always learn something from somebody that is not in my related area. So that's why I think it's important that you kind of, you know, study as many areas as you can. Aside from that, I mean, listen to other kinds of podcasts. If one listens to podcasts, you know, from golly, there's so many other things that are out there. It's like reading books in the newspaper and when watching the news, you know, keep up to date and current on things, and don't just be a magic geek only. I mean, you need to have a life, you know. Sure. Anyhow, sorry, there was no question there. I just kind of started rambling on.
Oh, but that's what we're doing here, isn't it? That's shooting the breeze.
Yeah, it is wonderful. What with this technology, you know, it's all about educating yourself. And, you know, even this last year since I've met Ken, just in our Skypes, I mean, Ken has educated me in so many ways. I'll tell you a little story about this. Is that when we first met, I mean, I was doing really well with my SEO. I mean, my site birthdaypartymagician.com is, you know, for the term birthday party magician ranks around the world as number one. Just go and type it in, birthday party magician. Do it now if you're there. I'd be very surprised if you don't get my site that comes up first. I used a process. There's 379 pages on my site. A lot of them you don't see. I was building content and it worked really, really well for me. And then what happened was what Google always does is it moves the goalposts all the time.
Right.
And then I eventually sort of, you know, started to fall down the rankings a bit and I had to work really, really hard to keep it up there. Anyway, then I met Ken. And when Ken and I first met in those early days, those early conversations, you know, we talked about how the sites were going. And I sort of knew that I was doing really well with SEO and Ken wasn't really going to, you know, sort of, you know, compete with me on that. So basically I was bragging to him. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, Ken, how's your SEO going? And I was waiting for him to go, well, not so good. And he said, I don't do it. And I said, well, what do you mean you don't do it? He said, I don't do it. He said, I don't worry about it. It's a waste of time. You know, you've got to do it in a small amount, but it's wasted energy. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, I use pay-per-click advertising. And I go, well, what? No, you've got to use SEO. And basically, you know, Ken said, well, no, I don't, because I worked out a while ago it's much smarter to use pay-per-click because it's very measurable. Is that, you know, you can put X amount of money and you know you're going to get X amount of money out and you move on with your life. And sort of what I realized when he got this through my thick head was that, you know, we're both going up this same mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking the hard way, fighting all the avalanches and the Google rock falls on the way down. And Ken was on the other side. He'd taken the cable car, paid his money, taken the cable car to the top and was up the top sipping cappuccinos and reading the paper. And I sort of scrambled up the top of the mountain like, ta-da, and there he is, you know, like hadn't raised a sweat. But the thing is that, you know, talking about education and online, is that Ken, using the technology, was able to take me through that and educate me over Skype about how to create, my own AdWords campaign, which I use now and is like, you know, I'm an absolute convert, way smarter for so many reasons.
I know that you guys had talked about that on your podcast before too, and it had, was it Josh London, I think, had talked about that with great detail, and then you had brought it up a few times since.
Yeah. When we spoke with Josh London, I was really very much researching. Julian and I had spoken about bringing a product to market, which is very shortly going to be released, mid-January. We're calling it Magic Tap. And it really is about AdWords training for magicians, because AdWords is tricky. AdWords is not set up for getting bookings or getting trade show shows. It's there to sell T-shirts and trainers and off-the-shelf products. That's what it's designed to do. And if you take out-of-the-box AdWords from Google and just kind of start running them, all you're going to do is burn through a whole pile of money and wonder where it's going, and it's really difficult to measure.
For an example, if you use the word magic or magician, you pay more for those clicks.
You're going to pay a lot for it. And the interesting thing is, when you really drill down into your niche, if you do your keyword research correctly, it's very often not what people are looking for. And if I take, they're more likely to be looking for corporate entertainer or entertainer, or if it's children or family, they're much more likely to look for children's entertainers than a kid's magician, for example.
You know, along that same line, same thing whenever I'm booking in trade shows, one of the last things I really want to talk with them about is magic, and that I'm a magician. I'd rather talk about their company, what they're doing, how I'm going to attract an audience. And then the main reason of that is that I want to get magic away from there, is so that way that they will continue to use me year after year, because you don't want them to say, well, yeah, we're going to have magic as a theme. We want to have a magician. Well, the next year it's going to have a different theme and they won't need you. And so if you are a partner with them and you are a corporate entertainer, or, you know, a corporate spokesman for them, or whatever, you know, kind of ad word that you kind of drill down to find, you know, then you are going to be more successful for a longer period of time than you would if you're just going to be a one-time magician when they have that as a theme.
Spot on. It's exactly that. It's about seeing it through the eyes of the person that wants to book you, looking at what their needs are, and making sure that you're matching that requirement. And the same is true of AdWords, is identifying what are people looking for and putting the keywords that are going to trigger that, and then the ad that is going to key into what they are looking for. They're looking for solutions generally.
Can I just jump in here for a minute? Because one of the things that I've learned, this is a great thing about Magician Business Podcast and the Facebook group, is people chime in and you get to understand what people do know and don't know and what they do want to know. And one of the things that I've found from a lot of the comments is that people are confused about what AdWords and pay-per-click are. And what I love doing, and I always do this all the time, I go to the 30,000-foot view, and I just for one brief moment want to do that. Just in case there's anyone listening who gets confused about this, you got to understand what Google is. And Google is a business that has created this platform using, you know, a search engine. So you want to find something, they devised like a library, an index system to make it easier for you to find things online. And they did it so well that they have this massive billions of people. So they have like an arena, you know, like a city full of people out there. And how they make money is that they allow anybody to advertise to those people. And they do it essentially two ways. And these are two terms you're going to hear. You're going to hear CPM or CPC. And CPM is cost per 1,000 views. And the reason is M is an old Roman numeral. You know, right. M was 1,000. So CPM, when you hear that, that means that if you hold your banner, sign up in front of these, you know, billion people 1,000 times, they're going to charge you X amount for that. So it's like driving down the highway and driving past billboards. You know, you just sort of see them, they're there, but you don't interact with them. Cost per click, or CPC, is when you put an ad up and somebody actually clicks on that ad. So it's a really, you know, people are putting their hands up and identifying themselves as interested, you know, to click on your ad, and Google charges you money to do that. And so it's CPC, or another word is PPC, pay per click, same thing. And so CPC, pay per click, or AdWords, which Ken was saying, AdWords is the brand that they use, you know, that they talk about. So if people are confused about that, CPC, PPC, and AdWords are all the same thing. It's about you putting your sign up and somebody identifying themselves and clicking on it, and you pay Google for the privilege of doing that.
Now, similarly, of course, Facebook has some sort of AdWords that you can pay for. And so is that something completely separate, or is that done similarly as far as trying to find the right words?
Depends what it is you're looking for. If you're an entertainer and you are looking to get bookings, then what you're looking for is you're looking for the people who are potentially going on Google and putting in search terms because they're looking to book somebody. You mm-hmm. want your ad to be coming up there. So it's very relevant. They click on there, they get through to your website, you pay your money to Google, and hopefully a transaction will take place where a potential booker will fill in your inquiry form or pick up the phone and give you a call. So that there is the transaction you're looking for. Facebook is more social marketing. So it's more getting your banner. It's more the billboards, as Julian was talking about, getting them to your Facebook page. So mm-hmm. it's more public relations, getting your brand awareness out there. And it's the slower route. We've certainly had, we've looked into both, and we found that AdWords, if it is run correctly, can be really beneficial for entertainers, because there are people out there, if somebody's looking for something, they go on Google. I know I do. If I want to find something, I want to know something, I go on Google and I type it in. And they're doing the same for us as magicians, as performing artists. When somebody says, hey, you go and get us a close-up magician for our upcoming Christmas dinner, somebody's on Google typing it in, the person who's got that job, and they're looking for someone. And if you're coming up, they're clicking on your site and you're able to close them, you've got yourself a gig. So it is, we call it the magic tap. It's like turning a tap on.
That's a good point. You know, people don't go to Facebook when they're looking to hire somebody for the entertainment, like you say, for a Christmas party coming up. They're going to go to Google and type in close-up entertainer. They don't even go close-up. It's just magician or magic, maybe, if specifically that's what they're looking for. But if you're trying to find an entertainer, I mean, yeah, there are a variety of others, whether it's disc jockeys or, you know, a trio or a harpist or whatever it might happen to be. I mean, there are other kinds of people. So they are all offering, as we are, live entertainment, as opposed to, as you said then, Ken, of, you know, selling T-shirts or runners or jumpers or whatever, that this is something that is completely different. So it sounds exciting. What's called a magic tap, you said, that's going to be?
Yeah, the magic tap is the product from the research that we did. And the interesting thing is that the research didn't come from either myself or Julian saying, oh, here's how we do it. Yes, it is. It boils down at the end of the day to here's how we do it. But what it was done was like really getting a lot of different people involved from the interviews that we did on Magician Business, getting people's input and thoughts and feelings. And we started hearing the same kind of messages again and again. As you have just said yourself, Scott, it's about looking through the booker's eyes, not about what you want to sell, but what about how you can key into the solution that is going to make them look good or solve their problem, as it were. And we launched what we called Website Jewel on Magician Business. And Website Jewel was three websites that we built from scratch, brand new websites that had never been seen before, one in Australia, one in Africa, one in the United Kingdom. And we populated it with information of local entertainers, and we just started some Google pay-per-click AdWords and ran them, pointing them at these sites, and started measuring what happens if we change this, what happens if we tweak this. And we took all the findings of that and put it together in a product called Magic Tap, which is basically training, AdWords training, PPC training for magicians and performing artists. And the learning was great. And the results have been great. I mean, I've in my own business today, because it's 9 o'clock at night, I can say it's the end of my day. We've had 16 inquiries, and that's a lot of inquiries.
Yeah,
that's a lot of inquiries. I'm not going to close 16 deals, because the kind of person that shops on Google using AdWords is very different from someone who might be referred through to your site by someone who might have seen you or might have a business card. So you're going to have less of a closing ratio. And it's maybe a different kind of sell at the end of the day, but 16 inquiries is 16 inquiries.
Exactly, and that's nothing that you have physically gone out and made 16 calls. That's something that just you put out there and is kind of working for you in the background.
But can I say, Scott, and jump here, excuse me, Ken, is that the thing about this is that it's so predictable.
We'll get back to my chat with Ken and Julian in a moment, but now I want to share a couple of things with you. First, I want to tell you about a new way of helping me on The Magic Word and to keep us going. I set up an account with Patreon.com, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, to allow you to contribute ongoing donations to this podcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can set up a payment schedule to fit your budget and make you feel good about listening to this free podcast. It's easy to set it up once and let it go, or you can increase, stop, or adjust your donation plan at any time. Please visit the website at patreon.com/themagicword and watch the video I recorded to learn how you can become a patron of The Magic Word. I always try to give you quality, fun, and educational content on The Magic Word and occasionally some prizes. As mentioned in my previous two podcasts, I said we'd give away a free copy of the DVD Lotto Fever by Jamie Salinas. All you had to do was to start a new thread on the Magic Word Podcast Facebook page. My analytics show that there have been over 1,000 downloads for the past two podcasts, but only 12 of you posted on our Facebook page. My thanks goes out to all of you for listening, even if you chose not to participate. And now it's time for the drawing. I actually have with me right now Jamie Salinas, the creator of Lotto Fever. Hi there, Jamie.
How you doing?
Doing great. And we have a chili bowl from the Magic Castle right here.
And I've got, see it is.
Yes. And I got all dozen of the names. Shake them up. You can hear that. There you go. Excellent.
All right. We're ready for
the
big winner.
Drum roll.
Oh, I got two of them. One goes back. Okay.
Okay. Which one we got?
The winner is Michael Delia Pena. P-E-N-N-A.
Michael Pena, I guess. P-E-N-N-A. Well, congratulations, Michael. That's great. And so what I'm going to do is I will go out then on the Facebook page and I'll send you a private message so that way that I can get your mailing address, and then I'll have the DVD shipped out to you. Hopefully you will get it before the first of the year. And also I want to thank Jamie Salinas for offering the great trick and the special promotional deal. You know, I've been offering a $5 discount on the Magic Word shop, but that now has ended, so it's going to its regular price of $34.95, which is still a great deal, because is this right? This is going to be going up another $5 to $39.95 soon? Or?
Right. I'm in negotiations with one of the major distributors, and they're going to reshoot it. And, of course, with higher production costs comes higher costs in the product.
Right.
So the product is going to go up to $39.95 starting sometime next year. So if you want
$39. Right.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be basically $40. Right now it's $35. So if you want to get it now before the big sale ends, it's lottofever.magicbyjamie.com.
Great. And we got a link to it then on our podcast as well, that you can pick one up there or go through the podcast shop here and pick one up. Great deal, great trick. We'll talk with you in the future sometime about how this actually was developed.
Okay, sounds great.
Interesting story. So now, back to our chat with Ken Kelly and Julian Mather.
The thing about this is that it's so predictable. It is, and this surprised me, because remember, I mean, I came from an SEO background, search engine optimization. And I mean, I can confidently say I know how to do that well. I basically won't do that again after having Ken explain to me how to set up a working AdWords campaign. And because when you go into it, it's really complex, because it's made by coders and geeks. And I used to run it. And I used to run it like most people did, was that it's so complex you just put it on auto and you set yourself a budget for, you know, like I'm willing to spend $100 a week on this and see what I get. And it's so complex you put it on auto. And basically you're just giving your money to Google. But when someone like Ken, who, I mean, he's been doing this for 6-7 years now and has worked it out to the nth degree, and he's put it in really simple terms. And I've got to say, too, is that a lot of this is just having it demystified for you. I used to find this when I, in my career in television, was I used to take on a lot of people and explain to them the basics of photography, and I was able to do it well because I was able to demystify it. All those numbers, you know, F22, F16 and all that, if you explain that to people in terms that they can understand and take it out of technical terms – the penny drops and they get it and they go, oh, it's not that hard. Exactly the same thing happened to me when Ken took me through AdWords and explained it to me. I went, why didn't they just tell me that first up? So what I've got now and is what Ken has got is a system where we can put a budget in and we essentially know we're going to get X amount of return out. And it that is fantastic because we can actually plan our year. I mean, I know bar, you know, anything happening to my health or anything happening to the world, I pretty much know how much I'm going to earn in the next 12 months because it's so predictable.
Now, is this something also that once you put up the AdWords that you are actually driving business to your website or to some other place, or is it sending it to an email autoresponder or something?
No, you run it through to your website. It works like this. There's three.
So it's important that you have a call to action on your website.
It is. There's three phases. Here's the thing. You know, very often there's a misconception that AdWords is one thing. You put up the AdWords, you set it up, and you're done. You're not done at all. The AdWords is only phase one. So phase one is to come up for the right keywords when people are looking for you, and have a good call to action in your ad that prompts somebody to click on that to be interested in what you offer. But once they've clicked on it, Google have done their bit. You've paid Google. That's it. That's why it's called pay-per-click, PPC. You've paid your money now. That lead or that potential booker has now landed on your website. And that's the second phase, because the page that they land on your website needs to match what they clicked in the ad. So it is a misconception that they will land on the front page of your website, your home page, because the home page may have mixed messages and speak about lots of different things you do. But if somebody has just clicked on close-up magician advert and they go through to your website, you need to be taking them to a page that is just about close-up magic, because that's what they're looking for. That was the keyword they put in. That was the ad they clicked on. They want to see a close-up magician.
They don't want to have to click on another tab once they get to that slide.
100%. And when they reach that, so that is the second phase, is having a page that is going to match what they are looking for. And then that page has got to prompt them to take an action. And that action may be to call you, which is maybe more difficult to measure, or maybe fill in your inquiry form. So that you now have something tangible and you can contact them. And then, of course, the third phase is how do you now sell yourself via the telephone or via the email to close that into a deal where you're actually standing in front of people who clap their hands and give you a check at the end of the night.
Right. So the third part of that, again, would be how you would respond. And so, some people don't know about how to close the deal. I mean, first of all, as you say, you have to ask for action for something to happen. I mean, if somebody calls me and for a show, they're looking for something, and I don't let the conversation go without saying, well, can I, send you a contract, give me your email, and I'll, be glad to send this to you, for you to sign and get back to me. And the same thing if someone does solicit me as a prospect for an opportunity coming up, saying, are you available on such and such a night, then I will respond not only if I am available with saying, here is a quote on what I can give you, but I've also attached a contract, here's my W-9 and also an invoice for the deposit and everything else. I mean, it's all right there, so that way they know that I'm going to be there, it's a professional show, and, why go to someone else at that point, because they've already got, three-fourths of the work done with that follow-up email.
You are being the solution. That's exactly what you're saying there, Scott. And the other thing with pay-per-click adverts is your customer that clicks on those adverts is very different to the customer who was referred to you by a friend, or that may have seen you at a trade show, or may have your business card in their pocket. Mm-hmm. They are completely cold prospects. Somebody's coming to your website because they've got your business card. They know who you are and they kind of like you already, and they probably want to take some effort to book you. But when people are on pay-per-click adverts, they're pretty much window shopping. So you have to have, when they get to your site, you have to have something that is pretty interesting. You've got to capture their attention. You've got to let them know they're in the right place very quickly and get their information, get that call to action to be able to send them your information or to make contact with them. because they're likely to just go back and click on the next ad and the next ad and maybe get five quotes in. So then it's really important what your follow-up might look like in that. So you have less of a closing ratio, but the numbers are a lot higher. And it's a numbers game. Sales is always a numbers game if you do it properly at the end of the day anyway.
And the Magic Tap that you're going to be having available coming up in January, yep. Will that be a school, a video, a series of lessons that they take, or are you going to do it for them, or how does this, what happens? What is that?
It is PPC AdWords training for magicians. It takes you through everything and it assumes you know nothing. It assumes that you are completely computer illiterate. And the reason that I made it that way is because that's how it was for me when I started.
Mm-hmm. And no, tell the truth, Ken. You made it so I could understand it.
Okay, there you go. Well, there was nothing that bugged me more than when I was trying to learn something and they assumed I knew something that I didn't know. And I guess it's like you see a really nice magic trick and then it asks you to do, and then it says perform a such a such a move, and you go, but I don't know that move, and then you've got to go look, and it's so I've assumed that they know nothing and made it really, really simple and taken the person that views this through step by step every aspect of running an effective campaign for magicians and performing artists. And I think that's really where I need to be clear. This is tailored for magicians and performing artists. It wouldn't work if you're selling shoes in the same way that the techniques used for selling shoes don't work for us as entertainers. And it's from setting up a Google AdWords account. How do you set it up? What should you put in? Setting up your first campaign, how to set that campaign, setting by setting, walking you through the dashboard via video, showing you what everything in that dashboard does, where money can be lost by simply clicking or not clicking a box, showing you how to target the locations, razor sharp targeting of where your AdWords will show up, where your ads are going to show up, what areas, so that you're really geographically targeting where you want to work. No good your adverts showing up in areas you don't want to work in. And basically adjusting the budgets, setting budgets that are going to work for you, researching the keywords, how to research keywords, how to know what it is that your bookers are typing into Google. Because all the information is there, all the tools are free, but they're not widely published. And then when you do find those tools, how do you work the tools? Well, it takes you through step by step by step through every aspect of that, from setting up the AdWords campaign, then what your website should look like, how to tweak a page and some formulas of what works on a page. And this is kind of split tests that we've done of case studies across various sites of what works, what is more likely to get a call to action, and showing you how you can include on your page some really simple tracking code, which is again free of charge, that will show you exactly where people are clicking on your website. You'll be able to see how many people clicked on that button there or that tab there, how many people closed the window and went away, all aspects of that, and then showing you a behind the scenes look at how you can have emails that go out automatically when you're not in the office to represent you when you're not there and increase your chances of getting that booking. So it's a real comprehensive package, broken down and made really, really simple.
Regardless of what type of magic you perform, and not just magicians, it sounds like variety artists as well, even if you happen to be a singer or you offer other kinds of live entertainment. But more specifically, I guess, if you are a magician, but again, whether that you're a corporate magician or a children's show magician or whatever, is that correct?
It is 100% correct, because yeah, the techniques and the formulas remain the same. So keyword research, whether you are selling trade show magic or whether you are selling family and children's entertainment, the process you will go through to research the keywords is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And Google's the same. Whether somebody's looking for a trade show magician or a mentalist, they still go on Google to do that search. So you're still engaging in the same platforms. So yes, it's about the formulas.
And again, it is focused more towards Google as opposed towards Facebook and social media.
very much so. And the reason for that is Google is the giant. It's where yes. most of the people go. So it's about aiming there.
And as you said earlier, I think, Julian, you had said about the Facebook being more for branding and everything then, too. So going back to that just a second, though, Ken, I didn't hear you say of whether that these videos are going to be online. Is it a DVD that will be sent to you? Are they a series of lessons that you subscribe to that will be ongoing? Or is it just a one time shot? What's it going to be exactly?
It's the platform is hosted online within a protected membership area. So I'd first like to say that you can try it out for free. We'll make some videos available and you can go through and have a look and see if it feels right for you. I'm not looking for anyone to make any kind of a commitment based on us saying that it's great. Go and have a look at it and look at the videos and see how they feel for you. And it'll take you along a certain path, and then it'll get to a point that says, look, if you want the full course, there's a fee. And of course, because we are here on the Magic Word podcast, we'll gladly offer a discount of anyone listening to this. You just pop in there. We'll make a little coupon code and just pop in Magic Word in there. We'll know it's you, and there will be a discounted price on that for you as well. That will give you instant access to online videos. They are delivered immediately, so there's no waiting. You can bob in anytime you like. You can take as long as you like and do it in your own pace. That is a lifetime membership to that content. There's video instructions. There's downloads. There are written instructions if you are maybe not into watching videos all the time. And it'll take you step by step through the whole thing. And you can go in as many times as you like for as long as you like.
Is it a long video then that you can kind of in different chapters essentially?
It is. It's broken down into 30 different videos. And each video, I've tried to keep them in bite-sized chunks.
Good.
So it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's step by step by step. And it may well be that somebody's listening to this and saying, well, I've already got an understanding of AdWords. Well, that's okay. You can miss out the basic videos and go on to the more advanced stuff, because we cover from those first steps right through to really optimizing a campaign, running split tests on your ads to see which ads are best, what you should do on a daily basis, what you should do on a weekly basis, what you should do on a monthly basis, how to squeeze the every last drop out of every last penny you put in. And here's the guarantee. You know, so often I hear from people using AdWords that, you know, they put their budget in, they paid their money to Google, and they don't know what they're getting. Magic Tap shows you how to track every last penny. Every last penny. You will know for every penny you put in what you got out. So no more, oh, where did that booking come from? Was that through AdWords or was that from a show I did? You will know exactly, because I show you how to install the tracking. So no more marketing in the dark and going on gut feel.
Julian, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was just going to say that one thing that hasn't been spelled out is that these are high definition videos. And when you open them up on your screen, it's pretty close to you looking at your live screen. And it's basically Ken going through the process. So it's very much like you're sitting there and Ken is next to you and taking it through step by step. And because they're in small bite-sized chunks, they're very actionable in that, you know, you can listen to what Ken says. And if you've got two monitors, it's great, because you can have one explanation video open on one screen and, you know, actually do it step by step. Makes it so much better. And the other thing is that it's interactive, because it has comments. Forms below it, and you see what the other people are commenting on, and you can respond to those comments. Both Ken and I respond to the comments as well. So it's like if you're not sure on something, you just pop your comment in, ask a question, and basically either Ken or I get back to you within probably about 6 to 8 hours.
It's just a forum then?
It's not really a forum. It's like that. But I mean, the videos on each page have a comment section. You know, like if you go onto a blog.
Yeah.
And so you put your comments in there, and either I'll interact, Ken will, or other people, because they will be notified as well, because it's something that they've commented on. They'll be notified and they'll come back. And so it's not just like you've got a book and you're left on your own. It's you've got the support of Ken and I and the other Magic Tap community.
And will that eventually start to push you up to the higher ranking on Google as well?
It won't. It is, that would be your organic search engine optimization that would move you in the ranking. With your pay-per-click AdWords, you can actually tweak it to come wherever you choose it to come. And within the Magic Tap formula, we look at where is the best place, because there's a misconception that you want to be at the top. You don't want to be at the top. It's really expensive to be at the top, and it's your return on that investment is not always justified. And we speak about in the Magic Tap what's called the golden triangle, and the golden triangle is the first three positions on Google. And because you're paying for it, if you tweak it correctly and you optimize it, you can choose where you want to be. And all of my ads run from position 1.5 to 2.9. All of my ads, they're in those top three positions. Wow. And I keep them there. And I go in once a week, and if something's slipping a bit, I will just optimize it, turn a little dial over here, add a penny to the budget, and put it up again.
Hmm. And Ken mentioned something before, which he mentioned the term split testing. And if you're not familiar with split testing, imagine in days gone by where you took an ad in a magazine, and you know, like a quarter page ad or something, and you put it in there, and you the month went by and you weren't sure what you got back, and you know, maybe it didn't seem like you got many inquiries, but then you looked at the ad and you thought, maybe it's the ad. What do I change? Well, with split testing, it means that you put two ads side by side and you just change one thing. You might change one word in the headline of each. And in that magazine model, you can't do that. You know, the system doesn't allow for them to print two different types of magazines and for them to tell you what happens. With AdWords, is that in your panel, you can create two ads, change a word in either ad, put them both out there with everything else the same except for one change of one word, and you can have a look, and one word change might make an increase of 20% in clicks on that. So what you do is you get rid of the ad that doesn't perform, you create two new ads and change another word, and
at
you
the
keep
same
looking
price.
At the same price. Yeah, exactly the same. The only thing you change, the only parameter you change, is a word. That's it. And so everything else is the same, and you might see there's a difference in that. You get rid of the one that doesn't perform, and you do the same thing again. You split it and make the two tests. And so what this enables you to do in your market is get the perfect ad for your market. And this all happens in like every couple of days. You can do this. You don't have to run it for a month. You can run it over a couple of days, and if you've got the clicks coming through, you'll see a difference. And this way, it's a fantastic way to laser target your particular market with your particular message.
Kind of like a round robin. I was thinking like from a sports analogy that, you know, you'll have two and then one wins and you move that forward and you got some others and you just keep moving that forward to the top.
Yeah, similar thing.
Hmm. What's wonderful is it's your audience that tell you what's working. And that's
right,
the thing, you know. And that's why it works no matter what type of magic you're doing, because it's not you working on what you think is right. It is your audience telling you all the time. And you'll see, because they'll show you by what performs and what does not. It's evolution. It's evolution in advertising and in marketing. And it will rise up to the top as long as you keep an eye on it and as long as you know how to measure it. And it's not difficult. I really struggled with maths at school, struggled terribly. Even I can do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So this isn't something that's going to be requiring a lot of mathematical genius.
Let me answer that one, Scott. No, not at all. I mean, Scott, I did really well at school if you don't count learning. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm not a numbers person. I'm very much a visual picture and written word person. And I can do it. I'm an absolute convert to this system. It's just so much easier. Look, we had an inquiry about 2 days ago from a magician in somewhere in the Washington, D.C. area who does school shows, and he was in a little bit of a panic. He said that his Google searches had just dropped them, and he's booking shows for January now, and all of a sudden he's not booking, and he wanted to know whether Magic Tap would help him. But that's the exact thing, is that when you do PPC, is you don't have to worry about that anymore. It's the system. I mean, this is a system that Google has designed to make them money. In fact, that they play the game. Whereas with SEO, the organic search results, well, because it's free, what you're doing on there, and they're giving you free exposure, they change the rules. And, you know, it happened to me. I got dropped. This guy got dropped.
And you were saying then, Julian, also that by using this method that you pretty much have an idea of what your income is going to be next year. Is that because by using this that you've got things booked into next year and through next year so that you can say, okay, I know I'm going to have a base salary of X?
Well, what you know from it is that once you fine-tune your campaign, which only takes a couple of weeks to get it up to a point where you go, oh, okay, I can see I'm getting to a sweet point here. You know, you can always refine it, but you get to that sweet point pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And you know that you set your budget, and you might set your budget to $100 a week that you're going to put in. But you know that generates you, say, 25 inquiries during that week. And you know that, you know, through experience that because your website, you've worked on that, and because you've got a pretty decent show and you've got testimonials on your site, that those 25 inquiries will result in, let's say, 10 bookings. And it becomes pretty consistent. There's an error, plus or minus, but it's not much. It's not much. I mean, you know, I pretty much know that if I get 25 inquiries, I'll get 10 bookings out of that. And I know that my bookings cost X amount, therefore I can plan ahead. If I don't get the 25 inquiries, what you do is, this is why we call it the magic tap. You turn it up. So you put a little bit more money in, the inquiries come in, then all of a sudden you might find you're getting too many, you turn it down. And if you go away, you turn it off. It's really that simple.
Hmm. And will there be like a premium service that they can get private counseling or lessons if they need to have some sort of more information or that's specific to their need?
Yes, I will offer that. And we call it calling in the plumber if you really need it. But I've tried best I can to teach people how to fish rather than to give them a fish. And I guess there's not a single person listening to this that hasn't had an email or a telephone call from somebody saying, hey, you can get more traffic on your website, or hey, we'll run your Google pay-per-click AdWord campaign. And it's dangerous handing it over, because it just disempowers you. So yes, we will do it. And I'm doing a number of AdWords campaigns for people around the world at this moment. But this is more about empowering people. And there's a guy called Charlie Fast, because we opened up the product, some beta testers, just to get people in. They paid to be there. So this is not people that went in there and are just saying nice things. They paid a fee. They paid the retail fee to go in, because we wanted only people that would really buy it anyway to go in. But we just send it out to a very small amount of people. And Charlie Fast says the following. He said, for the first time, I feel really secure in using AdWords. I opened up two tabs, one with the video and the other with AdWords. I listened to the video regarding what to do, and then I clicked over to AdWords and did what I was instructed to do. I would really be lost without this help. It was like having an expert sitting in a chair right next to me, guiding me step by step. I can't wait to go to the next step. So this was a bit of feedback that he gave just midway through. And that's what it's about. It's about empowering people, because it is easy. And you were speaking to Julian about that predictability of your income. You can really drill that down. And I've got my figures in front of me right here, and I can share them. Julian knows me. I'm always pulling out my figures. Excuse me if I'm rustling some papers.
I call him Rain Man.
He calls me Rain Man when I look at the numbers. I had 1,600 inquiries last year that came in through AdWords. I was able to look at what my turnover was from those inquiries. So whether I booked that show or didn't book the show, that wasn't what I was looking at. If I was just looking at inquiries versus my turnover, and I worked out that for every inquiry I got, whether I booked the show or not, I earned £38.75. So I don't know what that is in dollars, but that is in pounds. So it gave me an
roughly $60, I think, in US currency.
Yeah, around about that. It came to £62,000 of turnover, which is, I think it's $105 or somewhere around then. I did looked it up at one stage. So looking at that, and of course there's going to be a place where it goes off balance when I explain this, but the more inquiries I get, whether I book the show or not, because I'm going to book a certain amount anyway, that for each one, I get that 30, that 38 pounds and 75 pence, exactly what it is. So if I need more money, I just turn up the inquiries. But of course, you've got to balance that about against how many shows can you actually get out there and do at the end of the day. But it's so predictable because it's numbers and it's statistics, and they will always follow predictable patterns. As long as you offer a good service, of course. We're assuming that you're doing
a good service.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
But Ken, tell them, have you got the figures there for what the money that you put into AdWords to get that? What's the conversion rate? Because it's fantastic.
I don't know what it was for then, because I'm looking at 2013. At the moment, I'm putting in just under £300 per month. So I don't know what that is, but that gives me my living income, the return on that.
That sounds like that's something that people, you know, certainly if they're looking to make this into a full-time successful profession, that they should be taking advantage of the AdWords. I know by going back and listening to some of the ideas that have been shared on magicianbusiness.com, and, you know, it would be great, but this really, you know, takes it to a different level and fine-tunes it that works, proven to have worked. That's great. You know, kind of along the line, like with business, I was going to say, we have Eric Citron and I are working on a convention coming up this next year called Magic Business University. And the idea is that our belief is that we have enough knowledge of how to do tricks, and we own enough tricks, and we have routines. We probably, as you just said then, Ken, you have to have a product, first of all, you know, that don't go out and try and promote yourself if you can't back it up. You don't want to be all hat and no horse, they call it, you know, here in Texas. So, you know, you have to have the show. And so the point is that, you know, with Magic Business University, you know, we're looking to try to provide content with speakers who will be talking about finance, you know, about taxes and what you need to have, and, you know, savings, and what you need to put aside for and planning your finances, and what's deductible and what's not. And also talking about from the legal standpoint, as far as the contracts and what you need to have for insurance and liability, you know, and how much that costs, where you can go to get that kind of thing, perhaps even health insurance, and talking about, again, from that business side of it. But then in addition to that, talking about social media, SEO, that kind of thing then there too, as well as children's show business, restaurant business, publicity and promotion, getting on television, the newspaper, you know, just to supplement the social media. So the whole idea is that I believe that there are fewer people attending magic conventions in general. And part of it is because that the model hasn't changed. It's pretty much the same. You've got performers, contests, dealers, and shows. And so, you know, this is something in which we'll be providing some content that is unlike what has been seen traditionally. Again, of having it as a university, and, you know, we've got some other ideas of some things we kind of want to do within the context of the university, and maybe expand it over a period of time. But for right now, we're just going to be having it coming up this coming April, the 17th, 18th, and 19th, which is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday of 2015 in Clinton, New Jersey. And so if it's something that grows, then we have some other, you know, larger ideas of where this can be taken. But the idea is also to have people on the, quote, faculty who are good magicians, who know their business and are successful, and who can teach. I mean, there are a lot of people who know how to do it but don't know how to teach, and there are some people who can teach who really haven't lived it, and, you know, if you know what I'm talking about. So it's important that we have the right mix of people, and then, you know, if we ever take this on the road, let's say if we go to, you know, Chicago, we might have a visiting professor of Eugene Berger or somebody, you know, or if we go to L.A., we're going to have Rob Zabrecki as a visiting professor or something. But, you know, have the same faculty that would kind of be traveling with this, if it was would ever become a traveling university kind of a thing. But the whole idea is that we need to know how to be better magicians. Most magicians, and we were talking, going kind of full circle over here to start to wrap up over, Julian, where you were saying about you're estimating kind of in the middle, maybe 25,000 magicians, you know, worldwide. Well, for the most part, I think everyone really just has a passing interest or perhaps a passion. They enjoy it, whether it's performing or watching or collecting or whatever that their interest might be. But, I don't think that there are a lot of people who do it on a full-time basis, but moreover, there are a lot of people who don't know how to take it up to the next level where they can make more money at it. You know, I talked with a fellow this afternoon who had thanked me for some advice I'd given him, and he was now charging a lot more for a show and just got a higher fee because he'd asked for it. And I remember there was something, Ken, I think that you had referred to someone who on the Magician Business Podcast recently who had gone back, listened to several episodes, and he gave a $10,000 quote to somebody. You know, I just... Again, I'm kind of going off on a tangent over here, but I'm excited about the direction that the three of us are going and hopefully moving magic and magicians into being more of a professional type of a vocation as opposed to something that is just thought of as being frivolous.
It's music to my ears, and when you're speaking about that that convention and focusing on business, I really hope that you're well supported. And I know, Scott, that you have a deep knowledge of both business and the business of magic. And I know we mentioned the Magician Business Podcast that Julian and I run. And if anybody is interested in having a listen to the Magician Business Podcast, I suggest the first episode that you listen to, the must listen to go to episode, is episode number 9, where we interviewed a man called Scott Wells from the Magic Word Podcast, and you spoke of great wisdom and about trade show magic. So if you are going to go and listen to our podcast, that's the one to listen to because a great podcast, and it shows that your depth of knowledge when it comes to the business of magic, Scott.
Well, thank you, and I'm was flattered. Also, you told me it's gotten quite a few downloads. I guess
over 1,000.
So people are listening to the courses leave after 200. Over that period of time that some of them have included just conventions, whenever I'm at a convention and talking with friends, talent, some of the organizers, registrants and everything, just giving daily updates over there. But there are other times which I've got a couple of, I have magicians who are coming through and talking, who are staying with me, who are lecturing. And so we'll stay up and have a glass of scotch or something and then, or martini, and then we'll kind of stay up and talk for a while. And, it's a lot of fun. And a couple that I would recommend when you're saying to go back and to listen to the archives over there. I had one with Kevin James, which was, I think, very enlightening, very fun. Another one was with David Stone. So you can go back kind of in the archives and do a search on the magicwordpodcast.com and, you know, look for those. Those are a couple of my favorites and seem to be, another one that has been very popular is, of course, with Joni Spina having passed and with Simon Lovell's health situation not being very good, that and now over in England, that people are going back and listening to those podcasts to kind of hear their voices, you know, say for a last time, because it's difficult to try to get hold of Simon nowadays over in the facility where he is. But anyhow, yeah. Kind of.
I just want to jump in there and make a point, because you guys are talking about depth of business experience. I mean, I want to make sure that people understand that I have no depth of business experience whatsoever. I mean, I came from a career in television for 25 years where I worked in the public sector. I mean, imagine your PBS over there. It was that sort of similar, government funded, even they're subscription funded, but I work for government funded. And I've done well in business. I've been a full-time professional now for about 7 years, and I've done well in that time simply because I've listened and I've looked at people, I've looked for best practices, best models, and I've looked at what I'm doing, and if it doesn't work, I go through a bit of pain and I change. And I change to the models that successful people are using. So anyone who's listening to this and thinking, oh, yeah, well, that's good for you guys because you seem to have, you know, the, you know, your head in the right space for this business material. It's not. I'm not. I'm living proof of that.
And you have found a lot of success then as well. Do you do this on a full-time basis then, Julian, now? Or are you still doing any television work?
No. I went to Magic full-time 7 years ago. That's what I put on my tax return for the last 7 years is magician.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, listen,
yeah.
Go on. I was going to say that I want to thank you guys very much, you know, for joining me and talking about the magicianbusiness.com and kind of how you got started, and also I'm excited about the magic tap. And as of course you know, this is the magic word, and I always like to know what the magic word is, you know, that you guys use. So with, you know, it didn't have to be something again like abracadabra. You know the drill. What do you think would be a word? Julian, you have one?
Yeah, mine's encouragement. I worked out a couple of years ago. I was driving down back from a job, a magic booking, and I just literally had one of those epiphanies where I realized my purpose on this planet is to encourage people. To take, you know, that when I get excited about things, because I mean, I get very passionate about things, and I think passion is just an anesthetic for hard work. And it never seems that hard for me, but other people come to me and they go, oh, you know, how did you go from there to there? You seem to have achieved that. And I just did it. I took small steps at a time. And I realize that a lot of people don't have that. And I realize that, you know, my ability is to talk enthusiastically about these things. And so to encourage people is my purpose, and I love that word.
That's a good word. And by the way, when you said you were driving down the road, I was just picturing you in that van with balloons falling out of the back of your car van, like you talked about on one of your previous podcasts. I have to go back and find that and listen. It's funny. Ken, how about you?
I'm going to cheat because mine is a few words strung together. So it's a magic mini sentence, and it's focus and consistency. And it's, you know, I found that no matter what it is you want to do in life, wherever it is that you want to get, if you have those two elements put together, it is the real magic. Focus, as in just keep your eyes on it. Just keep your eyes on where it is you want to go. And the consistency is to just keep on going in that direction, even if it is the tiniest little step that you're taking. That focus and that consistency will always get you there.
So stay focused and not just kind of blow with the wind.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you guys both. Thank you, Julian. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for the idea on the magic tap. I will put a link certainly on the website so people can go to themagicwordpodcast.com for those of you who might be listening on iTunes. And I'll have a little ad down there also where you can click that will take you through there, and you can get a discount on that project. And when it comes out in January, mid-January, is that when it's approximately?
It is, and you can try it out for free as well. So you can follow that link on your website, go on down there and try it out and see if it fits for you, see if there's anything there for you.
That sounds great. Thank you guys again very much for your time. It's been wonderful talking with you, and I'm going to let one of you go to sleep and another one start your day. Finish your day.
Thank you very much, Scott. It's been great being.
All right, and so for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out. I want to sincerely thank our friends, Ken Kelly and Julian Mather, for the invaluable service they provide our magic community with their excellent podcast on magicianbusiness.com. And I can speak from experience on their new product, the Magic Tap. After our conversation, I subscribed to the Magic Tap and started watching the videos. They are very descriptive, straightforward, and easy to follow. I have started my own AdWord campaign and found it easier to use than I first thought. I intend to manage my Google AdWord campaign as part of my 2015 New Year's resolution to increase business. And right now, Ken and Julian are offering a special $10 discount off the price of the Magic Tap to listeners of the Magic Word. And they also offer a try before you buy offer. Just click on the banner at the bottom of the blog for this episode 202 on themagicwordpodcast.com. And after you have decided to buy the product, just type in magic word, that's all one word in lowercase, in the coupon code upon checkout. If you have not yet found magicianbusiness.com, I know you will enjoy and learn from this site. And I also know that you'll be even more successful after you have put the magic tap into your marketing mix for 2015. You owe it to yourself to do your best and take your business to the next level. So, it's a wrap for this episode. Lots of stuff crammed in here and might require a second listen. I hope it proves helpful to your business. Stay tuned next week for another all-new podcast. It will be released on Christmas night, December 25th. My present to you, a chat with the top African-American mentalist in the world, Banachek. Until next week, this is Scotty out.